from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Yeah, I mean, I think you could do them both at the same time. So it's not so much a tug of war, it's just, but it is a balance. And make no mistake about it, I've said this and I'm probably repeating myself a few times. It's not a rebuild, it's a recalibration, and we are trying to win right now. And we are, you know, we do have goals to be really good this season. But it is my job as a general manager, and really in conjunction with DQ, and we make every decision together, is to be good now and to build for a sustainable team for the future, to a team that you guys will see competing for championships every year.
Grant and Danny, welcoming you back on The Fan. That was the voice of General Manager Adam Peters, who joined the show. Gave us 25 minutes this past hour. If you missed any part of that conversation or our show today, make sure you podcast it when we are done into tomorrow. TheFanDC.com, GrantandDanny.com/audio. Peters was fantastic. We're going to talk with Ben Standing of The Athletic, covers Peters and the Commanders. He'll join us at 6. He had his agent survey drop today. Some really good content, grilling a bunch of the agents around the NFL on all kinds of questions. And I think the Commanders showed pretty well on that agent survey compared to years past, which is a nice
refreshing
change of course, to be clear. I want to get the clip on cornerbacks in a few minutes because I thought that was some actual good roster breakdown stuff where it's pretty obvious. He's going to say nice things about his own players, but I do think they like that group more than certainly I do, where I'm nervous on the outside looking in. I think Benjamin St. Juice can play. I am trepidatious about Michael Davis. I know he's physical, but I'm not quite sure what the end game is in terms of Emmanuel Forbes on the boundary starting. I love Sanders still in the nickel. I think Igbinoghene looked really, really well at times at the practices I was at in the preseason. So I'm way less concerned, oddly enough, inside, which is probably the toughest position to play, than I am outside, where I've long been higher on St. Juice than a lot of people. His length, physicality, he looks like, to me, like a Quinn Witt laboratory
Legion
design.
Legion of Boom guy, yeah.
But take Benjamin St. Juice out of the equation. On the outside, there's just nothing else that I feel good about.
It's question marks.
And St. Juice should be a number two in a really good first division situation. Like, I don't want St. Juice being the one guy standing between me and A.J. Brown going for $167 or Justin Jefferson going for $153. You know what I mean?
Yes, I do.
It's just not an ideal scenario. But you're not going to fix everything in one offseason. And he's not going to sit here and say he doesn't like his guys. I get that, too.
Right, but also more just, I think, larger picture, if you'd swap positions, done a Mad Lib. What do you think about receiver? I know Noah Brown is added to the group. Or think about the offensive line, whether it's, you know, the tackle spots, Brandon Coleman, Cornelius Lucas, Andrew Wiley, Trent Scott. What do you think? He would probably give you the same answer, where internally we know more, we see these guys more, and we're confident in it. And that's kind of been one of my theses. Is that, what's the plural of thesis? One of my theses?
Your thesi.
That sounds weird. Thesi? Whatever.
It's your...
I have a thesis. I have multiple...
Kinesiology.
Kinesiologies. Mm. I have multiple kinesiologies. But I think this is that's kind of the big one, is they like their group better than folks on the outside.
And it said
not,
that.
And yeah, it's not just me. This is people that cover this league for a living. Everybody from fantasy analysts to the Mike Clays of the world to Warren Sharp and the Pro Football Focus, some of their groups where people are going, they're going, no, we got it. And the proof will be in the pudding.
Let's go to Steve in Haymarket on Grant and Danny, listening on The Fan. What's up, Steve? How are you?
Hey, how are you guys doing today?
Good, pal.
Good. No, I just wanted to echo the sentiment that Grant, you know, voiced right before you guys went to break. Like, I've been a lifelong fan, obviously, you know, 30, 40, 50 years, whatever. But hearing a GM come on and talk to you guys for 20 minutes, and earlier today on B. Mitch and Finley, I heard DQ on there. Like, you haven't had that access, and it felt like just refreshing to hear the change that everybody is all on the same page about. So I don't have a question or anything, but I was just saying, like, you know, I completely agree with, you know, what you were saying, and it's a definitely air of excitement around here over the last off season.
It's a sign of the times in a way. Mm-hmm. I really do think it's symbolic of something bigger. Now, they got to win football games. All right, this is a business, and really, what truly matters is, do you win or do you lose? And that part is coming. They haven't played a game yet. Now, luckily for them, and probably for us, all of us as collectively involved in this thing, on the outside in, fan base, media, whatever, the wins and the losses this year are not necessarily going to be the end-all be-all. At some point next year, you probably turn the page to the record really starting to matter, and that's going to determine how much we like Dan Quinn or Adam Peters or anybody else in the building. That having been said, I'm just trying to provide, as best I can, as an intermediary of sorts, who's has the access and can be in the building, the difference is night and day. It's just, you notice it walking up to training camp. You see it in the paint on the walls and the carpets put down in the press box or in every now area of the stadium, the new flooring that's everywhere. Like, there are attempts and efforts being made in every visual way that is possible. And in how people are being treated. That's the part that I can never properly qualify to folks.
Mm-hmm.
I say this from time to time on the show jokingly, but it's fact. Like, if I was to tell you the two worst times I've ever been scolded, yelled at, or talked to by another human being, as a grown-up, both were over in Ashburn by brass of the then Dan Snyder operation, like Redskins organization.
Mm-hmm.
Just utterly unacceptable ways to scream at people. You don't talk like that to someone as a grown-up in the real world. It doesn't happen. You see it in movies where, yeah, like, you know, some boss is making someone's life miserable, and in the movie she's going home and crying to her husband who's begging her to quit. But, I mean, like, that's real life. That was happening there for so long. And this story I told is 100% true. I bump into a guy in the parking lot. His kid was crying. One of the staffers who's just been told, try to make someone's day a little better while they're out here so that we can get them to come back because nobody likes this team anymore and we need to build a fan base. Like, just sees the kid crying and tells someone, and they tell someone. And then Adam Peters comes over and takes the kid in to get some autographs and takes him over to the facility. It's just, again, that's not going to help you beat the Bucks.
Mm-hmm.
That part's going to matter too. But for those of us that have been here the whole time, it also matters. It does.
So I'm trying to think of a good way to put this, because I know for a lot of folks, they'll roll their eyes at that.
Yeah, I think if you're listening, like someone in town from Boston who listens to EEI or something is like, oh, these squares, like, oh, these losers. You don't get it.
And you haven't
been here.
But even here, like, I remember years ago, I got in an argument years ago on the air with our buddy LeVar Arrington. Right, doing afternoons. And he kept pointing to Shanahan's record at that point. And I was saying, okay, well, that's totally true. The record's the record. But they now can practice inside and not at a Gold's Gym or an airport hangar. They can now have nutritious meals at the facility. And things are improving. It's not great yet. And I'm not saying it is, but improvement is happening. And there's at least some sort of real adult football type things that are potentially taking place. Whether it works or not, who knows? And he kept pointing to the record. And I'm going, okay, well, then why does anyone need us? You could just Google Washington's record and we'll all go home? No, there's more nuance to it. There's a discussion to be had here. And I guess that's kind of where I'm going. None of this, none of him being nice to us, none of him being a human being, none of them drafting Johnny Newton or if Mike Sanders still is in the slot or not in 2 years or whatever, is going to decide if they win a Super Bowl or not, or if they're multiple division champions or any of these types of things. You're giving yourself a chance now. And that's the point. This is blackjack. You're walking up to the table, you sit down, and you play tight, and you play smart, and you're doubling down on 11. You're staying on when a dealer's got a six showing. You're just doing the smart things that give you the best chance to win. The cards might bone you. You might be in the AFC at the same time as Pat Mahomes, and no one has anything to show for it because he's there, that lurking demon, that monster ruining everybody's time, right? That could just be the hand you're dealt. You could be a great Major League Baseball team. Just happens to be in the 90s when the Braves and the Yankees are meeting in the World Series, it seems like, every year. Bad luck happens, but you've given yourself a real honest-to-good shot, and that's all we're trying to sell you at this point. There is no guarantee this works, but I'll take my chances with this over everything that we've seen for the last couple of decades.
Yeah, give me a front office. Give me a real general manager. And we've gotten beyond just Peters. The rest of the operation he's filled out, from Newmark to Sosna, and just kind of an R&D department that they've now staffed, and the entire operation is more aligned with what the NFL looks like in places where the front office is good than this one has ever been. It's also such a stark contrast, by the way, that it makes it so revealing. Like, we said this, but it was worse than we thought. To really, how bad it was. I mean, even recently, like, when things have been better in terms of people aren't being harassed and, you know, Dan Snyder's not in the building, the last couple of years, they had no chance because of the front office outfit, you know, the quarterback situation. They might have also fixed those two things. We'll find that out in short order. But just refreshing, man. And I'm glad to hear that the caller there, also had some of the same kind of thoughts as he's listening to Peter speak, some of those same emotions. Let's go to Vince and Akakeek on G&D. What's up, buddy?
What's up, guys?
Hey, man.
So the previous caller and everything y'all said is like exactly where I am. None of this translates to winning football games. And honestly, as much as I want to, for not being cliche, trust the process, I'm still a little weary about as much as they seem to love St. Juice and Forbes.
Oh, me
and
too.
As much as they love Mariota, if Jaden gets hurt, and like Daniel says, if Jaden gets hurt, it doesn't matter anyway, but how confident they are that if, for whatever reason, if Jaden needs to tie his shoe for a play, Mariota is this great backup quarterback. But outside of those things, the fact that, like the previous caller said, you heard Dan earlier, you hear AP now, it sounds like they are really trying to build a thing.
Yes.
We're not just grabbing stuff. What looks shiny or what sounds good or who says this thing in the media that makes me need to change my mind. Even if everything that they're doing wrong, they're like, we're going to do wrong all together at the same time, at the same breath, the same beat. And it just gives you a chance to want to believe that we might have a chance to do something better down the line. And for a person who's never had hope in this team and who kind of still doesn't, it gives me a reason to want to believe.
Who are you talking about? You mean you?
Who kind of still doesn't is a great line. Look, I categorically agree with you.
Mm-hmm.
Co-sign all of that in this sense. When you say, I don't completely agree with what they did there. I'm not sure I see it the same way they do here. Yeah, that's normal.
Mm-hmm.
That's just football.
It's just football, man.
You're talking to a guy who wanted an offensive coach, not Dan Quinn. You're talking to a guy who would have drafted Drake May, not Jaden Daniels. By the way, it doesn't mean that I think Dan Quinn's an incapable goose or that Jaden Daniels doesn't have a bright future. Just saw it differently. Paid to sit here and give my opinion. You're talking to a guy who wanted to acquire a star offensive tackle to start on the left side this year. Didn't want Andrew Wiley starting at right tackle. You're talking to someone right now who wanted to acquire a number two wide receiver with more pelts on the wall than Noah Brown. There's a lot of things I thought differently about than they did. So? And that's kind of my point. That's the football part of this. I think it's easier to win with an offensive-minded coach because I think the numbers bear that out over the last 20-plus years in football. I don't think it's really that debatable. It doesn't mean you can't win with Dan Quinn. They're going to try to. They're taking the road that's a little more difficult traveled based on what the numbers tell us. But they didn't care about some of the same, like, red flag-ish analytics on sacks and some of those things with Jaden Daniels. By the way, so far, so good. The guy looks like the stuff that they could learn that we can't, looking at, you know, stat pages, the stuff about when does he show up, when does he leave, how hard does he work, how smart is he, all that stuff that we don't really get access to. It seems like he's getting A pluses in all those categories. And frankly, that's the most important stuff. So maybe they're going to have hit a home run on that. And God willing, they did. Because if they did, then pretty much nothing else matters, honestly.
Agreed.
Then you could have the worst defensive coach available and still win because you got the quarterback. But it's okay to disagree. I don't think anyone should just do the Enron we trust bit. I never liked it then. I don't like it now. And I'm as big a mark as there is for Adam Peters. Be a critical thinker. Have your own opinion. Do your own study. There's great websites. There's all kinds of access. I got a whole budget I pay on just stupid websites. Some stuff I know how to use.
Yeah, and some stuff you forgot you're paying for.
Oh, yeah, I just figured that one out the other. But like some stuff I don't even know how to use.
Yeah.
Where Adam Peters would like walk by and laugh at me like, what are you watching? You don't know what you're looking at. You're probably right, Adam. Just out here trying to do my best. I would have drafted some guys differently than the Commanders did the last few years, though. That might have worked out.
Yeah.
But I'm just trying to do my best. That's all I'm trying to do. And I think every caller is the same way. Like, you don't have to do this all in with every move they make thing. But in the meantime, there was really no reason to give any benefit of the doubt to the last group. That's what I kept saying. That's all I cared about was why? What have they done? What have they won? There's no Super Bowl ring as a coach or a GM on any of these guys' hands. Adam Peters has three titles in three different buildings. San Francisco almost won another one for him last year. They clinched the division when he was at that stupid stadium hugging guys as they came off the field last year. You can't find one person in the league that doesn't rave about him. I found plenty of people the last couple years not raving about the guys that were here.
Yeah, you know, you could throw a rock and end up hitting somebody. Yeah, I think it's said very well. I mean, the way I look at it is I call balls and strikes. So I might miss a couple. I'm loud wrong all the damn time.
We need an electronic strike zone, you and I, sometimes.
Well, especially for me. I mean, I got my misses. But when I'm right, sorry. Sorry about it. You know, like, and if it happens to differ from their view, whatever it is. I can't get too bogged down in, you know, sort of blind deference to authority or blind deference to expertise, right, where you just say, there's no question Lance Newmark and Adam Peters and all the rest of the guys in the front office know more football than everybody in this room and everybody listening, for God's sakes.
And a politician knows more about the behind-the-scenes inner workings of the stuff they're dealing with. Bet you still have an opinion on some of the decisions they make.
I bet you do. And
boss,
by the way, I agree with whatever you think about those things that you're talking
too.
About. And I'm outraged by the right stuff.
I am as well.
Yeah.
Your boss probably has more intel than you do on things. Bet you still dislike some of the decisions they make.
You've never kvetched? You've never had a little session with somebody at the water cooler? Getting a cup of coffee? You never groused about anything?
Never. Not once. Come on. Let's talk corners next. I thought Peters gave a great answer on why they like that room more than everybody else. And then we'll get to your calls as well. 800-636-1067. What do you like about this roster that's now been formed? And where are you the most nervous? You're listening to The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Yeah, Noah Brown was someone we actually were pursuing in free agency too, and he didn't come to us, for different reasons. But someone we've had our eye on for a long time, someone I've had my eye on for a long time since he was at Ohio State. The champion, if I'm going to give credit to one person, Lance Newmark was the champion in the building for Noah, and he loved him for his play on the field and the style of play that he had, not only his ability but his play style, where he identified him as a commander and a guy who plays the way we want to play. So when we had the chance to get him at the price we got him at, it was a no-brainer. We jumped right on it, called his agent, and got him here in no time. So I really commend our scouting staff to be being ready for that, understanding that may happen, and pouncing on it immediately so we could be first in line.
Adam Peters on signing new wide receiver Noah Brown, who's going to be very likely the number 2 wide receiver for the Commanders sooner rather than later. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on the Fan. Someone they pushed for in free agency, he said he didn't sign for a lot of reasons. I would imagine Houston wanted him back, guaranteed him a little bit of money. Where would you play? C.J. Stroud is proven, and the Texans are a favorite to win the division and have top 5 odds to get to the Super Bowl out of their conference. Or a Washington team, he says they're recalibrating, not rebuilding, but that had 4 wins last year as a rookie quarterback and a first-year head coach. No kidding, he chose Houston. But then when he got released, I'm sure they came back to the table, and now it's a different convo.
Absolutely. I mean, it's all about what you want, right? Everybody's entitled to it as an employee. Like, you're working in the league. You're trying to make your own way. Do you want the most amount of money? Do you want opportunity to thrive and get a lot of catches and a lot of yards and then maybe make the most money? Do you want to be in a city where you like the school system for your kids or your wife wants to live? Or do you want the shot to play the most? Whatever you want, there's always got to be that fit. Both parties have to be willing. So your situation just changed if you're Noah Brown. You're basically going, I'm going to be a complimentary receiver here in Houston. And, well, then you enter Stephon Diggs, who's kind of now probably going to run in the slot. And they drafted John Mechie a couple years ago. They actually still like him an awful lot. So he's probably the number 4. Then you got Tank Dell and Nico Collins. Uh-oh, writing's on the wall, right? What I thought might be an opportunity isn't really anymore. So now your situation changes and you go, there's no one in my way. I got an entire side of the field probably. Terry's going to be on the left, Cliff Kingsbury style. I got the whole right side of the field to operate. I'll take that.
You mentioned earlier that he gave Lance Newmark the credit, as he did there in that clip, for being basically the Noah Brown guy, the guy that went out and really stood on the table to go get him. Something else not lost on me while we're pumping Peter's tires today is to give him that credit publicly, where you don't have to do that. You could just say, we signed him. You're the GM, right?
Mm-hmm.
You don't hear. Like, think about other GMs in town. I'm not knocking them, but Rizzo or McClellan or whoever. It's not like they're shouting out a random scout who liked the guy a lot. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's something that I think is cool that Peters did that. And then also, Lance Newmark spoke today. He did a press conference as the assistant GM. Peters just did a press conference after they put the roster together a couple days ago. Dan Quinn just did a press conference yesterday and today. I guess my point is, it's not like they had to do the Lance Newmark thing. That was let's get him out in front of the media and give him a little shine. Whereas a lot of teams just don't do that, just so you guys know. You don't want people plucking your assistants. You don't want people plucking your general managers working underneath of your team president or whatever for other jobs. In fact, I know of a club that was on Hard Knocks within the last couple of years that had a coordinator that did not show up on the show. And I was doing some asking around. I'm like, what is going on here? And basically, what I was told was, Yeah, I don't think they wanted anybody to really see a lot of him. They didn't want his star to rise, so to speak.
Because that's happened.
Of course.
Even here in town. Now, Jay Gruden would have got a job eventually anyway, but there was this Hard Knocks in Cincinnati where he came off excellent.
Yeah.
And got a gig.
But the idea of empowering people and putting your workers over and like wanting good things for your own guys, that's a big, big deal.
Yeah, for sure. You know, not only Jay, but like Dan Campbell years ago. Mike Vrabel became a star when he was a linebackers coach in Houston and showed very well on Hard Knocks. I mean, it's a star maker to a degree. But just to digress, a lot of guys and a lot of orgs you have to kind of hoard and stash away because you don't feel like you got enough confidence or the ability to find the next guy. Like, in other words, if it goes well, Lance Newmark's going to get a GM gig, and you're going to lose him.
If you become the Lions, like, this was his promotion, the next one will be to GM. If you're one of the better teams in the NFC, if you're the 49ers where Peters came from, he's the Adam Peters. He's the guy people go, you know, who was really good, because he helped pan-pick Noah Brown, and he was the reason they went out and they got Olamide Zaccheaus, or, you know, whoever else people find out he gets credit for. Go to the cornerback conversation. This was one of the times in the conversation where Peters really did let his guard down and actually talk ball and get into some of his talent on the roster and the personnel and what they like about some of their guys. The question was about, you know, why we're wrong on the outside looking in, that this corner room is actually better than we think it is.
You know, internally, we feel a little bit better than maybe externally, and that's the case most of the time. We see these guys play day in and day out, and you go down the roster and in the depth chart, and all of these guys have gotten better. When you're talking about the secondary, really, Emmanuel Forbes has gotten significantly better, and that's a testament to how he's practiced, how he's worked, and how he's been coached. Jason Simmons is an excellent coach. Joe Witt, those guys have really gotten him to improve quite a bit, and he's done the work too. He's made a bunch of plays in the last few practices. So, you know, and then Mikey Sanders still has been awesome inside of the nickel, and he can play some outside too. And St. Juice is long, athletic, and has made a lot of plays on the ball this camp as well. So, you know, it remains to be seen how we do on the field, but very confident in all those guys and the coaching staff putting them in the right place to succeed.
There's a patience there that comes with. In other words, if, let's say for the sake of argument, Emmanuel Forbes has a renaissance year and is really good, that's a win for them. That'd be such a boon because that's free. You don't have to do anything. You inherited that. And if Forbes blossoms under much better coaching, guys with some pretty good pedigrees in terms of developing members of the secondary in Quinn and Witt, then all of a sudden, not only is that position solved, but it everything looks so much better, right? So you need to give a guy a chance to do that in a year where people won't be quite as concerned if you end up 7-10. Like, if we're all in and you're Kansas City or you're Buffalo or you're one of these teams with Super Bowl aspirations and you're going into the season with the weakest of weak links on the outside that's going to undo all the good work everywhere else, then you'd be more concerned about it. But in his mind, it's a non-emergency situation, and let's be patient and see.
I mean, this is where sometimes you've got to figure out, are you endorsing a guy because you got to endorse a guy, or do you really like the player? In Forbes' case, you should empower that player. You should come out and say nice things going into this season regardless. I'm curious what they really think. One thing we didn't get into that I would have liked to was, with all the players they cut from the Rivera era, how much of a clean slate did all of these guys get? From the film that you were watching, you know, all the evaluations you did before Dan Quinn took over, it's a whole different world. If you're Benjamin St. Juice playing for Dan Quinn in this scheme with Joe Witt from the last guys. And so does it matter if, I'm just making this up, but if you graded Benjamin St. Juice as a minus performer or as a, you know, in your view, he played like a backup last year, let's say, but you actually think he could be a cornerback one in this scheme, the way they're going to do it, the way they're going to use him with this coaching. I think that would have been an interesting thing to get to if we had a little more time, because obviously it was their opinion that just a lot of the guys that were here previously just weren't good enough and they didn't like them enough to make the roster.
Mm-hmm.
But for him to say, unsolicited, really the first and maybe the only player he cited as saying he's a lot better now was Emmanuel Forbes.
Yeah,
he came out. That tells me something. Forbes has gotten significantly better. He says it's a testament to how he's practiced, worked, and how he's been coached. Now, maybe he's also saying that because he knows when I'm suggesting I don't like the corner room very much, it's pretty clear I'm not confident in Forbes.
And right, you kinda, can do the math there, yeah.
Exactly. But for him to just go right there and say, we think Forbes is better, they love Sandra still, and they should. The guy was awesome in camp in the preseason. And then to throw in St. Just as well, that's the foundation. But they're betting big on those guys. They need all three of them to play their butts off if the corner room's going
to
be good.
Yes, we alluded to it kind of throughout, but obviously with 33 and counting new players from last year of your 53-man roster, via free agency, trades, draft, et cetera, there's going to be a lot of turnover. There are some holdovers, though. There are some guys that we would have thought going into this offseason would be in jeopardy that are still here, be it Jamin Davis, Diami Brown is still here. Fenerian Mathis kind of won the faceoff with John Ridgeway. I know they were both holdovers from Rivera, but thinking of a draft pick of the Rivera era, they were able to move on from John Ridgeway because seemingly they're confident in Fenerian Mathis to be able to step in and play well in that kind of rotational role. So there are a couple guys that did survive it, which I think would be his pushback's not the right word, but would be his rebuttal if you went, it seemed like when in doubt, you just went with your guy. And he would go, well, there are a few guys from before who we liked a lot that sort of showed. So there is enough of a blank slate being able to call, in his mind, balls and strikes on some players, be able to say, you know what, this guy can play for us, can play the way that, quote-unquote, Commanders would like to.
Ben Standing of The Athletic is going to join us in 20 minutes at 6. That's when we're giving away tickets to see Kevin Hart over at DAR Constitution Hall. Next, I want to get into two NFL national stories that caught my attention today. The first is another player asked for someone's retired number and got it, becoming a bit of a trend. And then also Tom Brady is going to be calling games and also potentially be a minority owner. And it doesn't sound like the league is very excited about that. Should that even be allowed? Are you listening to G&D on the Fan? If you missed our breakdown in our first segment today of Dylan Cruz's huge series against the Yankees, back-to-back multi-hit games, first career home run last night, you'll want to go grab the podcast when we're done. TheFanDC.com, GrantandDanny.com/audio. No Nats baseball tonight, so why not? All of our baseball and Nats content here on The Fan is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan against AT&T and Verizon. Your savings calculator is available there to find out how. T-Mobile.com/switch. Danny, Malik Nabers, who I am so excited to watch play, I think I'll end up being wrong probably, but I like him more than I like Marvin Harrison Jr. I think him and Roma Dunze and Harrison are all going to be amazing. I thought it was as good a trio as has come out in many, many years, but I love Malik Nabers at LSU last year. Thought he was unbelievable. He's going to wear number one, which is not interesting to anyone in D.C. other than because he called, I guess, the family of a player posthumously who once wore number one for the Giants that is retired. They gave him permission to wear the number that he wanted to wear. He had been wearing another number during camp in the preseason, and he's now going to rock number one. You'll remember that this happened with Dwayne Haskins and Joe Theismann. The tragically late Dwayne Haskins asked Theismann to wear number seven. Theismann said yes. And that was before Haskins ever played a snap. Now, especially because Dwayne's no longer with us, which is so awful, I don't want to beat up on his career here or in general. Not a fun thing to do. But I do point this out just to say, obviously it didn't go very well here, and somebody wore Joe Theismann's number, and Theismann was put in the terrible situation where he either says, no, don't wear my number, and he looks like a jerk, or he says yes, which he probably doesn't want, and then a guy wears his number. For some people, this might not be a big deal because it's just a number or whatever. I just don't like this trend. A retired number is a retired number.
Or it's not. This is on the team.
But the Giants are retired. No,
precisely. No, I know. This is a team thing to me. And it was with Washington when they forced, they're like, well, I don't know, Joe, you deal with it. So now exactly. Dwayne's got to call Joe. I hated that.
But so for the Washington, you were right. Like, it was on the team because the jersey wasn't actually retired. It was just not in use. My understanding is with the Giants, it's an actual retired number.
I'm looking at it right now. Ray Flaherty. It's a retired jersey number, but I guess it's not.
The reason I bring it up, though, is retired numbers aren't really retired anymore. When a player wants to use them, you're just going to call and get permission. And it's such a terrible spot for the family when it gets leaked or someone finds out that they told the player no. Of course, more often than not, I would say at a very, very high clip, people are going to say yes. And really, for what reason? Your number's unretired just because now you know time has passed and people forget how important you were, or you know how significant you were to get your jersey retired. I just think it's a bad practice. I don't like that young guys are asking for the number. Now, when we run out of numbers, we don't have a choice. Obviously, like it's like running out of, this is morbid and awful, like running out of space for graves. We got to figure something else out. You know what I'm saying? Like, but that's not the problem. This is not a situation where there's no number he can wear. He just wanted a number that's retired. And to that I say, to this guy that I really like, sorry about your luck. You're not going to wear number one. I want players to stop asking for numbers that are retired. They're retired. Until we're out of numbers and we need to recycle them, I want this to end. Is that a hot take?
Not at all. And again, it doesn't seem like you are, and I think that's fine, but I'm blaming the team here. This is a team thing to me.
Meaning the Giants should just tell him no.
Yeah, the organization says no. Like, if you walked into, I'm a brand new Yankee, I'm a hotshot, I'm a first-round pick, I'm going to the show. Can I wear number three? No! It's retired! It's Babe Ruth's. Well, what about four? No! It's Gehrig's. Yeah, but this is a lesser retired jersey. This is just Ray Flaherty. What? We retired the number. It's a non-starter.
And if we want to be more selective about retiring jerseys, fine.
I'm fine with that,
then
too.
We should only retire jerseys for the greatest of all time and not just the one-time MVP or the one-time Super Bowl champion or the four-time Pro Bowl or whatever. But if it's retired right now, it's retired. It can't be worn.
Unless it can. Unless you now have a daughter-in-law or like a niece that's going to answer the phone and say, yeah, I guess that's fine. What are we doing? I cannot believe it. And again, this is small. It's a jersey number. At the end of the day, it's fine. And retiring a number is ceremonial, and it's about honoring the player, et cetera. But
yeah,
you still
have your jersey up on the Ring of Fame, and I'm sure it's in the stadium or whatever.
But the whole point of the retirement is to say, you wore this so well, no one will ever wear it again. That's why you can't wear seven as a Yankee. By the way, all the single digits are out if you're a Yankee fan.
Well, I also have an issue with this part of it. It's that these guys have never played before, right? So it's one thing if you have a career. It's another thing, we'll say goodbye to our listening audience in Richmond. It's another thing if you're a player and you do not have any experience, one catch, one snap, have not been on the field and broken a sweat or bled or anything, and you're asking for the number. If you've made four Pro Bowls and are a two-time All-Pro or something like that, Danny, come on, man. Like, seriously, if you've done something and you're asking for the number, even though I still think it's a bad look and I still don't think you should do it and I still don't think you should get it, a little more okay. Someone who's never played, a rookie wouldn't dare ask a veteran to carry his pads. A rookie wouldn't dare not sing his fight song when told to or not go and get the snacks for the team meeting like he's supposed to. But a rookie is going to take a number away from a Hall of Famer? A rookie is going to take a number away from one of the most important players in team history? It's just a ridiculous thing.
So I hear everything you're saying. It's something I disagree specifically, but I almost don't even like the idea of saying a rookie can't do it. What about a fifth-year guy? Like to me, a retired number is off limits for everybody. I don't care how good you are. Like if Pat Mahomes walks in and goes, I want to wear 16 from now on. Sorry, that's a retired number. Len Dawson wore that number. It's retired. Pick another one. Greatest player of our generation, future Hall of Famer, and guy that's going to have his jersey number retired. Like to me, I don't care if you're a rookie, a second year guy, a 10th year guy, if you're in year 15, you know, and you're like a Bruce Smith wanted to wear a certain number if Washington at the time actually had retired jerseys instead of their informal retirement. But when he came here and goes, I want to wear 77, and no, Jim Lachey's number is retired or whatever. I can't do that. Like, to me, it's like there's no achievement. There's no earning it. There's no, now you've got the right to place the phone call to the family. The team goes, no. It's very simple to me. Thank you. We love you. We're so excited you're here. We cannot wait to throw you 130 balls this year. Pick a different number. It's retired.
He's Danny. I'm Grant. This is the Fan Top of the Hour. Tonight is the last opportunity you'll have to get into our Grant and Danny Fantasy Football League with listeners. We're going to be drafting. We're all going to get together on Tuesday night, Sports Bar. We'll give you all the details, how you can get in, how you can come hang with us on Tuesday night. We'll do that right at the top of the hour next. We're also giving away those tickets to see Kevin Hart in D.C., and Ben Standing of The Athletic joins us to break down the Commanders roster next right here on The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.